We now go to a new report into the needs of the expanding early childhood education and care sector, the ECEC. The report author, Dr. Mark Dean, and Australian Education Union's Federal President Karina Haythorpe joined me to look at key findings and recommendations of the report.
At the moment, ECEC is being treated like it's a market. It's just a commodity. Actually, it's of strategic importance to the economy. It not only contributes enormous economic benefit to Australia's economy through providing thousands of jobs to workers, increasing the participation of women in the economy, or flow-on benefits to other workers throughout the economy and creating lots of demand for goods and services. It also sets children up for life. It's critically important to the future of Australia's economy and society that we provide young people with the best possible outcomes. And therefore, we need it to be treated for its importance to the economy. We need to attract the highest quality workers, provide them with the best quality education, actually treat it as the industry it's supposed to be.
The process of talking about something as if it's of high social value and absolutely essential for the maximising of Australia's economy with its flow-on effects is usually targeting male-dominated industries that are related to resources and technology, but not feminised industries such as caring industries or developmental industries. This is an unusual approach, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a reasonably unusual approach if you think of it as talking about an industry strategy for a feminised industry. But really what that says is that this industry is critical to our economic development. The fact that it's a very feminised workforce just suggests that its importance isn't being recognised in the sense that, manufacturing is. The gender dynamics shouldn't play into the fact that this is a strategic sector that basically provides support for those other strategic sectors. So it needs to be treated in the same way. And at the moment, with the privatisation of ECEC, the fact that it's an industry dominated by women workers means that they're also bearing the brunt of this increasing gender pay gap. That's largely because in being treated like a market and a commodity that commoditises these essential services it's providing, it's not being reflected in government policy. And that's a real issue. And we need to address that with an industry policy that recognises just how critical it is.
The privatisation of this area of our economy is quite staggering, isn't it? Because it's been propelled by government policy. It's funded by government, but the outcomes for the community are actually quite low in terms of the outcomes for the children as well as for the workers.
Yeah, that's right, Annie. And that's a major problem because what it's doing is it's putting profit before the well-being of the young people that ECEC serves, as well as the workers that are suffering low pay, poor working conditions and insecure work as well. These aren't the kind of things that you provide in a sector that is so essential to the future. That's being said, the skills pipeline that's going into that. We also see a growing privatisation of the vet sector that's marginalising the role of TAFE. And our report actually goes on to talk as well about how critical TAFE is to providing that skills pipeline of highly educated workers that can sustain its expansion. That basically means that we need to reverse the privatisation of the industry. And we need to put the public role of these services back at the forefront of their delivery.
Before we get on to TAFE, the outcomes for children, I was fascinated to find out how staggeringly low Australia is on the scale of achievements in early childhood development against OECD countries. We're 32 on a scale of 38 countries.
Yeah, I think that should be a point of embarrassment for policymakers in Australia, simply because we talk about Australia as being an advanced industrial country, really high standards of living and good educational outcomes. But it's very much, just going back to your question about the privatisation, this is the impact of its marketisation, of the market management approach and the business model that's driven by profit in ECEC that, again, is putting profits before the well-being of young Australians and the workers that deliver the services to them. That we don't have an industry policy in place to address that and to move back up the ranks. The fact that so much money goes into ECEC funding from governments, I mean, not enough, arguably, we need to invest far more, but the fact that it's an entirely government-funded industry, and then all of that money effectively flows to private interests, to CEOs with major bonuses at executive level, and doesn't flow to the workers that's tasked with providing the best care and education for our future generations, is really appalling. That's what this report is trying to draw attention to, as well as the fact that we need to return to public delivery of the sector, which is backed by TAFE's investment and role in providing the education for that.
In fact, the report shows, and research coming out of the United Workers Union shows, that some of the largest companies involved in this sector are actually foreign, and that all that money goes out of this country.
That's right, Annie. That, again, is just more indicting evidence to show you that this system aid is run at the moment as a market-driven system, benefits private providers, their shareholders, many of them overseas, as you pointed out, and that what that does is not only create that problem of public taxpayer money going overseas, but it creates a system that means private providers of ECEC in Australia are choosing where they're going to invest. So the typical outcome is that people from lower socioeconomic backgrounds, people in working class neighbourhoods effectively, are not getting the kinds of services that they deserve for their children. Their children are missing out on development opportunities. This is something that a universal system could address if we expanded ECEC and if we funded it properly with public money.
Rural areas as well.
Absolutely, rural as well, and they miss out. And one of the recommendations I even make in the report is that we should be piloting the delivery of universal ECEC provision to rural areas that's driven by workers, where workers have enormous input into how those services are delivered, because it not only provides great employment opportunities for local people, they also understand the local needs of people in those communities.
And this research is showing that we've got a serious staff shortage in this area, and this is because of the insecurity of the work, the bad conditions, the bad pay. And this leads us into the other section, which is where Karina from the AEU comes in, really, isn't it? That you've been advocating for the TAFE for a long time as a key element in the public universal standardisation of our educational systems that feed into places like early education.
Yes, look, that's correct. And I think the very interesting thing about this report is it highlights not only the astonishing 6,000 job vacancies that we're experiencing a month, but it also highlights the insecurity of work, the low wages and lack of pathways for career advancement, particularly for educators working in early childhood. The AU covers both the preschool sector and the TAFE sector, and one of the key messages that we hear from our members is about the importance of making sure that they have better wages and conditions to ensure that we can attract the workers. And from our perspective, that goes hand in hand with making sure that we've got high quality delivery of vocational education to actually skill the early childhood workforce up, and that should happen through TAFE.
Now, Mark, you've done an analysis of the level of adherence to standards in the private sector in this area and the ability for TAFE to actually set higher standards and better outcomes.
Yeah, absolutely, Annie. TAFE institutions in Australia are basically the anchors of quality and accountable vocational education in the country. It's because they have the best infrastructure, the best quality, and the best course offerings. Where private providers are driven by profit, there's no incentive for them to invest in the best quality and the best range of courses. And TAFE does that. TAFE's are basically the only vet provider as well with the to meet the staffing needs that we're going to need for the growing ECEC sector. That puts TAFE in the driver's seat. If we're going to deliver this ECE reform through public provision, a publicly funded ECEC workforce that's perhaps helped to expand through not-for-profits, removing private for-profit providers in the ECE sector, it joins perfectly to the idea that we should be supporting the public delivery of the education and skills required for that sector as well. TAFE is perfectly positioned as both the most trusted institute in the vet sector, as well as a public provider of those skills that meets quality standards, the highest benchmarks, and the best outcomes for the people that it trains and educates.
There's a very essential element to this, isn't it, that removing the commoditization of early childhood development, taking it away from the profit motive because of its public service element?
Yes, absolutely. It's about recognizing that early childhood education and care is a public good. It first of all delivers the best opportunities for young people starting off the most crucial parts of their lives. You know, their early development is crucial. If we have that provided by public services that are funded by public money, we're removing the profit incentive of private providers, and we're also removing the barriers to that provision that comes with privatisation of the sector, where I mentioned earlier that, you know, it basically your postcode can determine the access you have to ECEC services in many ways. And so, but that's one element of why it's a public good and an essential service. But the other is that we've demonstrated in this report that ECEC is a public good because it flows all the way through the economy. It's, you know, increasing the income and the wages and salaries of workers in ECEC creates more demand for goods and services in the economy. It expands the ability of women to enter the workforce because they're no longer having to choose between a career or raising their children. And they're the key major benefits that set us up on a trajectory of economic development that is inclusive, that expands opportunity for all young Australians instead of just leaving it to where you grew up and under what circumstances your parents have to be able to access some of these services.
It actually leads into the issues of social cohesion as well and reducing inequality when it comes to people's outcomes in the future.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. It levels the playing field, and it also means that ECEC becomes something that every child has access to and parents are encouraged to pursue in their early lives. It is fundamental that ECEC be seen as an essential public service, because we want everyone to have the best opportunities in life. And ultimately, governments need to recognise the policy implications that besides creating more cohesive societies and better outcomes for young people, there are massive economic benefits. And any government that doesn't see the opportunities that there are to expand universal ECEC by spending a significant amount more money, but returning an even more significant amount to the economy, any government that doesn't understand that that is crucial is really not understanding how to create a cohesive society and ensure that Australia develops sustainably into the future.
And there's 10 recommendations. And Corinna, you would be quite happy with the recommendation that there should be 70% of public funding to the TAFE sector out of VET government funding, and as well as the last one, which is a fascinating recommendation, that unions should have a stronger role in the evaluating of ECEC services.
Look, certainly, we welcome all of the recommendations. So what we've seen now since 2013 is the federal government's latent sort of policy preferences for privatisation. We've seen significant funding cuts. So the commitment for 70% of total government funding, that includes state and Commonwealth funding for TAFE, is critically important, as are the other recommendations. And fundamentally, governments have to ask themselves, what is this actually about? It's about making sure that every child in Australia has access to high-quality early childhood education that can set them up for their best future in terms of their school education and their life beyond school. And that's what we want to see.
Just to sort of add to what Corinna's saying there as well, that we can think about the future in terms of choices. And, you know, what we're talking about here is an investment in Australia's future that will see immediate returns to society rather than in 50 years from now when we've spent $90 billion on submarines that haven't materialised yet. So, you know, I think that this should be a real election issue to understand which government is going to deliver inclusive policy outcomes for Australians. And investing in early childhood education and care and investing in our TAFE system are key ways that we can actually build a sustainable future.
Well, actually, it does occur to me that the issue around support services and essential workers came out during COVID, and it was pointed out that insecure work and bad pay for essential workers leads our society to understand that it actually has to make these kind of jobs worth doing financially as well as intellectually.
Yeah, absolutely. If we just think of early childhood education, educators and carers as being essential services, roles that are essential services to the economy, those workers aren't being treated in terms of pay and conditions anywhere near as well as their job is of value to the economy. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about these essential services that have been provided throughout the pandemic, actually just being treated with dignity and respect, and these workers being remunerated for the contribution they make to the economy and the commitment they show to their jobs.
This isn't an area where people are childminding per se. They are actually in the job of helping to develop young minds, which is a complicated area that requires training.
Well, that's why it's called early childhood education and care. We've got the issue of the care that an early education that's provided for children from birth to three, and then we've got the critical 2 years before school, with Australia being one of just a handful of countries that only offers 1 year of preschool education for our children before they go to school. So it's a critically important time for children as they're establishing their development in terms of their brains. And with respect to teachers in schools, we see the difference every day for those children that have actually been in early childhood education and care environments, as opposed to children who have not, in terms of the learning needs that those children might present with as they begin school.